The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One. All right, guys, we have a special different edition of Lulz. Brian and I, of course, normally stream live. We're dealing with the chat, all that stuff, the porn bots, you know the deal. But today we wanted to do a little pre-recorded thing so we could dive into the Sports HUD, the app, the Draft Caddy that Brian has been working on lately. And Brian, I feel like we've gotten enough questions about it. I get it on Twitter in comments. People want to know the deal with this thing. So we figured we'd kind of walk through it and hop in a draft just so people could kind of see, you know, farm to table, how to utilize this thing.
Definitely. I've been getting a lot of customer service like questions too in my Discord, so maybe we could just have something to direct them to.
Yeah, so how, from just like a high level view, obviously today we're going to focus on the Draft Caddy, but how would you kind of describe what this Sports HUD is, how you envision it, you know, being utilized?
The original idea is just to overlay data that you already have, like Osmos subscription, ETR subscriptions, and leverage it to bet props or pick'ems. And then this new Draft Caddy portion is to overlay your relevant best ball data, like week 16, 17 matchup for the playoff version of best ball, your exposures in different drafts, whatever else you want to put on there, that, which is more kind of like the original idea of ripping off Poker Tracker, which shows like your opponent's stats based on hand histories. And, you know, I don't know, we've got like 10 or so categories now automated. I'm happy to automate more of them as things become useful, but like with the Poker Tracker's evolution, when the early days of the Stone Age of online poker was basically just like VPIP, just like one stat. And then by the end, by Black Friday, like guys would have like 60 different numbers on their screen that only they knew what they were for, because it was so convoluted. But so hopefully maybe eventually get some more information that people could use on the best ball portion. But yeah, it's just an overlay to help. Overlay help either bet props quickly without spending so much time going back to your website or your spreadsheet. And if I make my own props, and you know, I don't know how many people do that, but you could also do that. You could overlay your own props or overlay your own ADP. If you have a ADP that you think's better than everyone else's or anything else you want on there, you could throw it on there. I did the Scottish Open today. Underdog had a best ball for them, so I just took like their win percentage, their sportsbook win percentage, cut percentage, and just overlaid it on there and did some drafts. I doubt anyone's doing that, right?
Yeah. No, it is true. It's funny today on Splash Play, Spags was like, I was in a draft with Karain, and he did this really weird four quarterback build. And so I messaged him. I was like, what's going on with this? Is this some kind of galaxy brain thing? He's like, oh no, I was trying to multi-table and it did not go well. So this is kind of, you know, how I view it too. One, it's really helpful as you have, like Brian and I are at different spots as far as where we're kind of processing a draft. And so some of the information Brian needs is different than what I need. And when I kind of transition to multi-tabling, which I inevitably think I will to max enter BBM3 when we get closer, like I am going to need simple information that I can process myself if I'm doing one draft. But if you're trying to do two to three of these at one time, like this tool is going to be very helpful for you.
That was also part of some of the old poker software, like Poker Ninja, and there was a few other ones. They were there to help you multi-table. And so I would play like 6 to 10 tables at a time back in the day, and it would like pop up the most urgent table before your timer goes off.
Yeah.
And theoretically, we could add the same thing if enough people are doing multi-entry best ball, which they might when it comes to the right before the start of the season.
Yeah, and that's a good point with all of this. I mean, Brian has been taking feedback, adding different features and stuff that he thinks there's a market for, people bring up. And so you got the 2-day trial on it too, so you can give it a shot. And, you know, a lot of it is customizable as far as what kind of fields and information you upload. And Brian is automating that too. So there's kind of a basket of default options of data you can have. But really with this thing, it is fully customizable. So if you have ideas, you have ways that you think you can improve on it, you know, let Brian know, let us know. And, we'll see what we can do here. But I figured, Brian, just because, and I know some more automation is coming, but I thought it'd be helpful for people to kind of just walk through exactly kind of how this works and how to get set up. So I'll probably ask you questions, but maybe you can kind of walk it through. For me, I, of course, already have the Chrome extension downloaded here, but maybe pick up wherever you might think be helpful for new people.
Mozilla, you can download straight from the store. And Chrome, hopefully you'll be able to down straight from the store in a week or two. They're a little more strict with their app uploads, and they don't like gambling, but I think they've been relaxing that a little bit. That's the only reason I don't have it up there, is because I don't want to get denied. So you have to manually install Chrome if you want it on Chrome. You hate Mozilla for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a Chrome guy, so I got it installed on Chrome. There's instructions in here on how you can do that until that gets automated in the Chrome store, has all the steps here, very easy to follow then in your Chrome extension. And then you log in to your Chrome extension, your HUD here via your username on brick75.com, and walk me through what we are seeing here. We're obviously on the underdog section. We're going to table the kind of pick'em, DraftKings and pick'em conversation for another day, but kind of walk through what the people are seeing here in the best ball section.
Sure. It's got drafters and underdog currently that overlay. And they also have a highlighting feature that's already automated on both those sites. When you draft a quarterback, it highlights their teammates, running back, tight end, wide receiver, to make it easy. So that's like a good tool for multi-tabling, because if you won't miss an easy stack if you're drafting 4, 6, 8 drafts at the same time. Or for noobs like me who might not know who's on the same teams yet and you're not paying attention, it just points it out for you crystal clear. And the column 1, column 2, column 3 is the data we have automated currently, and I don't know all of them. I don't know if the drop down it is a drop down list right now for when you're doing that. I can't see any drop down list, but maybe it's showing.
I've been clicking through them quickly to show them up. I can read them right here. You can have week 16 opponent, week 17 opponent, playoff strength of schedule, season projected fantasy points per game, the ranking, ADP differential, so your rank versus the ADP, week 17 team total, if you're looking that far in advance as we are, positional ADP, vet or rookie. There's your simple one too. If you're like Brian and just need kind of some simple information, you could have that. And then, of course, my favorite personally is the your exposures here as well, which I find really handy when making decisions on the clock.
Yeah. So as we're recording this, your exposures right now is just like a template dummy. That's actually Pete's old exposures on there. I needed something to put there so the developers can add in later, automating your exposures right from Underdog. And then you won't need to upload anything for these categories anyways. Yeah. So you still will need to use that slightly below that where you upload a CSV file, and then you can display whatever you want for any sport.
Correct. And so here when you have the file, and do you have a default kind of file that people can work off of here, this download sample default schema, that's what they start with and then can add their information and re-upload it?
Yeah, you could use that one, or on Discord it's probably better. I have Excel sheets I made that you could just copy, and it's way easier. Where you could paste in your exposure file from that you get from Underdog, and it'll save the first tab as a CSV and upload it right up. And and then you could see how it works, and you can put in whatever data you want just based off of that file. And I think I did like three different versions, so you should pretty much get the idea if you want to customize it yourself from one of the three. And also I had a test CSV on there just to make sure you're doing it right. That one should work.
Yep. And you can see here, I put, if you ever need to check, and I had this when I ran into I just uploaded even before Brian and I hopped on the wrong CSV, you can click view data and it'll show you kind of a screener of the data in that CSV. So we can see here, I do have my correct spreadsheet with my exposures here in this column 3.
Yep. And it'll look normal, right? It won't have any asterisks or weird numbers or anything in there. And that's like a sign that you probably uploaded something incorrect if it doesn't look normal.
And then as far as now kind of heading over, and again, this is stuff that's hard to show with the way screen share works with the Chrome extensions. But if we head over to Underdog, and when you click the dropdown on the HUD from your extension, I can actually open directly to Underdog Fantasy. Takes me over here. What's kind of the next step now that people got their CSV uploaded? Is there anything else they need to do, or are they good to go?
Well, no, that's all you need to do. But really quick on it's got an open option. That's pretty good for sports betting too. I know we're not really talking about that, because if ETR drops like a prop and you want to get to it really quickly, you could just click that and open your, if you don't have the sports book open, and get there fast. That's one of the reasons I wanted that open option on the GUI. But no, you shouldn't have to do anything, and you could always double check if it's working by going to the rankings and selecting the sport that you're uploading for, which is most of the time going to be NFL, I'm assuming, for people.
And one thing too, if you do just kind of want to check and make sure you're good, you know, say before you hop into BBM 3 draft or whatever, you can go to your completed here, and I can go look at one of my old drafts, and the applet will still function. Here I can go look at one, a draft I did last night. And you can see here, I ended up putting in, I wouldn't normally have this one in, but I did just want to show. And obviously it's a little bit extra text here.
You have the header selected. You could turn those on or off.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
So if you turn the headers off, you'll go back and then you'll see. It might take a second to reload since it's grabbing it off from the API. But yeah, just leave that. Yeah, and then also you have nothing selected in column 1. So those get really quick. The guys who've already used this.
Yeah.
Before, you just uploaded the CSV. Now you actually have to pick what you want in the column, and it could go in between. You could use the CSV and the API on either columns. You can mix and match or use only API or just your CSV, but you do have to actually pick now.
Yeah. Yep. And now, so if we do go back here, oops, wrong one. If we go back here, now you can see we got my three columns that I selected here, week 16, week 17, vet or rookie here. And then if I want to, for our draft, Brian, to get my exposures, am I using UCSV?
Yeah, you would go column 3, UCSV. Okay, whatever column you have it in and use data is what will show up in that column on the site.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying. So because if I view my data here, because I have column 3 here, this is the one I want to select UCSV.
Exactly. And you clicked the header again, Pete. I think the target area on that box is a little big.
I got you. All right. Let's see if we are back in business now here. I did toggle this one to positional ADP. We'll let this take hold here for a second, and then we can hop in a draft with our information. And when you're going through the draft, you could theoretically come over here and kind of switch your screener halfway through the draft, right?
Yeah, and it'll work really quickly. So like right now, I guess the headers takes a minute to get rid of the headers and then get them all back. But like right now, if you switch to week 16 or something on one of them, whatever, something else, you should click back and it should be there.
Yep. So now we just switch back. So we have my three columns here: NFL week 16 opponent, week 17 opponent, and then UCSV for my exposures. And we are good to go here. I say we hop in a draft. Anything else on the tool that people should pay attention to? Obviously, it's going to change a little bit with the automations.
Yeah, the main things people want will be automated shortly. The you could put, if someone didn't notice this yet, you could also put characters in. It doesn't have to be numbers. So you could put whatever you want, like, do not draft this idiot or something. You know what I mean? Just a reminder or something.
Yeah.
And you can put whatever you want. I hate this guy. Whatever you want into the column and mix and match. And you don't, if you want more than three columns, like we showed you, you could just select in between them and it'll change really quick. And you could look at that data really fast. Like if you're trying to remember if a guy's a sophomore or not, you know, go to the vet rookie tab really quick and take a look.
So basically, if you want to use the a la carte ones here that you've already provided, you can just do them from the dropdown. Theoretically, say if you had your own three data columns, you would just select UCSV for all three of these?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yep.
Sweet. Yeah, so it was one of those things. I've been getting all kinds of messages, people asking generally around the exposures. How do I get my exposures to show up there? But yeah, so this should give you a good handle on how to do that.
And, you know, while we're waiting here, the one issue people did have, it seemed like, is if you subscribed before, like let's say a month ago or something, and don't subscribe, you might have problems uploading. It doesn't seem to be universal, but just DM me. Twitter or Discord or in the Lulz Discord, whatever. I don't care. And if it's not working that way, we'll figure it out. But other than that, pretty much there's not one person right now who's having a problem that we have as a sub. So,
yeah, there you go. You guys can, you know, and I think this is going to come in handy. I just got an email from Underdog earlier today. The subject line was "Win Puppy 2." They did say, "All I can say is Puppy 2 is coming." And as we know, with these kind of flash tournaments that fill within 7 to 10 days, yeah. Basically impossible not to max it unless you're A, willing to enter like 75 slow drafts, or B, you're willing to multi-table. So I think this is really the way for a good multi-tabler to actually get some good drafts in.
You know, that's interesting strategy wise. Cause like in DFS, you know, you're capped, and obviously you're capped here. Are we up?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're up.
To me, that seems obvious. You're low on them anyways.
Exactly.
You know, what I've been putting into my custom columns is I'm working on a best ball sim, and it's pretty shitty right now, admittedly, but like the better it gets, I'm going to have my advancement rates. And then I want to eventually build a kind of optimal exposure percentage like that you would have in 150, and then just kind of get around that number more or less.
That's fun, because it's like, you know, I'm obviously right now I'm under the field on Cooper Kupp there. I want to get up there, but for the most part, I'm literally just going by my gut of, oh, I want to be overweight on this guy. I want to be underweight. But if you have your sim data to give you an actual target exposure, that's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of them looked like they're like nothing crazy, but we'll see when it's all said and done. One of the ideas I had, what do you think about this one, Pete, is for injuries, is to kind of farm the data. So like Christian McCaffrey is an obvious one. So like, I mean, you guys are all best ball bros. So like in the Lulz Discord, we could be like, you know, top 10 or guys who are like injury risks or something like that.
Yeah.
And then tweet out, what percentage do you think Christian McCaffrey will be injured, you know, 0 to 5%, 5 to 10, whatever. We'll make up reasonable graph, and then use that number as the injury chance in a simulation.
Right.
So you know, I'm not going like, oh, Pete says 7% chance he's going to get hurt. Like, well, let's see what 1,000 people think, you know?
Yeah.
And that should be fairly accurate. And then when they get hurt, you got to do some things in the sim, obviously, like who's the backup, and the backup can get hurt too. So, but anyways, that would kind of alleviate what Leone was talking about in our chat last week. Was it last week?
Yeah.
where it's like he was talking about Alex's article about week 16 or no, I'm sorry, three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the, you know, the injury set up, it could lead you to think that, I think this is his thesis, is three quarterbacks isn't worth it, you know, wouldn't be worth it if the injuries are set up properly, because of course they're not worth it when your guys never get hurt and they're projected to get 50 points all season, right? And then they're just never going to get high enough,
right,
to ever be worth it. But in reality, there's going to be, you know, 5% of the time or something that guy actually has a 200 point season because Christian McCaffrey gets hurt or whoever.
It's almost like the showdown, like NFL showdown thing, right? Where some of those guys are going to project for such a low median, but if like the third string tight end gets a touchdown, like they're going to be in the optimal most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But this also affects the quarterback position.
Right.
Because if the second string running back from handcuff from team X is basically never going to be in a simulation optimal, mm-hmm. Then I keep worrying about our picks coming up. If he's going to be if he's never going to be in a simulation optimal, then of course you'd pick up those extra 16 points from a quarterback who's always going to play, right?
Right.
All right. What are we looking at? What do you think, Pete?
So I would probably just, I normally take T. Higgins in this spot, kind of evidenced here, but I don't mind just taking Tyreek Hill because T. Higgins generally goes a few picks after.
Yeah, okay. I don't like take Tyreek Hill, but I don't like stud wide receivers who go to a new team and their quarterback's not really good. But
it's a fair argument. I honestly I definitely prefer Higgins just generally, but I smash Higgins in a lot of spots. One thing I noticed, Brian, I feel like these exposures are a little off, and I'm just trying to figure out.
Are you on UCSV? Oh, you know why, Pete? Probably. Did you give me, you gave me the exposures for your whole.
You're right. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Maybe. So the way when you can export and we'll make our pick and then maybe I'll.
I could update your thing while you're.
Yeah. While you're I'll get you.
No, you don't need to. I can do it.
Oh, okay.
The problem with you is you do so many like random side randomizer drafts and stuff, it must screw up your
exactly. So this is an interesting spot here. T. Higgins does come back, which was kind of why I was willing to let him go. Mike Williams obviously gives us that correlation with Cooper Kupp in week 17. What do you like here?
I'm actually updating your
okay. You said
week 16 correlation.
Week 17, and I went against it. Well, again, sometimes the reason I feel like Higgins with Cooper Kupp and Tyreek Hill is going to end up being a pretty unique combination just because all of those guys slid a little bit past where they normally go. And my thought is like, so I've seen so many teams just like anecdotally where everyone's reaching for Mike Williams and Keenan with their Cooper Kupp builds because everyone loves that week 17 correlation that I'm almost worried about it being like a quote unquote chalky stack at this point.
I sent you your updated info.
Oh, thank you.
You probably have to delete the old CSV and upload this one.
Okay. I am going to download.
So what's been the overall best ball bro, opinion on week 16 now? Has it shifted?
I do think people are definitely more like open to the idea of, you know, hey, I want to be kind of weighting these similarly. And I do think like.
You click headers again.
Oh man, that always gets me. Let's head back here and see if, but yeah, no, I thought Alex's article made a lot of sense. And it intuitively makes sense that it's much easier to advance from week 16 than it is week 17. And so optimizing for that, and just getting there makes a lot of sense. I definitely get that. I still think like if your goal was solely to optimize to win more than $1 million, that you'd be waiting week 17. But I certainly get it. And I think it's definitely spurred some conversation.
Do you know, here's another thing I want to get out of the sim data is, you know, rule of thumb, heuristic, how many rounds is each one of these things worth?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're looking at, right? When you're drafting, what are we coming up here? Like 40 something. Let's say you're drafting 50, but you could reach for a correlated wide receiver who's 62. Is that worth it? Is it 65 right. worth it? What's worth it? What about in the first round? You know, what about in the second round? Does that change things? And I'm assuming it does. Like, you don't want to go too far down on those rounds.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of, like, okay, how many rounds? I get that I want to hit this correlation. I understand that. But, like, how – it's a lot easier in DFS when I could just run it all on the same day and then, you know, enter it all in. When I'm hand building like this, like, what is each little piece of this worth besides a tiebreaker? Obviously, a tiebreaker, yeah, you should do all this every time. But what about 5 picks, 8 picks, 10 picks?
Right. So this is an interesting spot. One thing I've been doing in some of these drafts is, even though I didn't take Mike Williams there, and I think I actually talked about this last time we did it, where I'll backdoor stack Herbert because I'm already kind of setting up my week 17 correlation mm-hmm. of the Chargers versus him, and he falls, and then knowing there's still a couple of these other Chargers that I can draft later in the draft.
Yeah, and you got a lot of haul anyways, but yeah.
Yeah. But no, so back to your point, that's the thing I struggle with. I mean, I know ETR had an article looking at the data for just like various ranges of how much you're reaching on picks, and they had different buckets that basically their bucket was anything over like 10 to 12 picks is a reach, started to have like neutral to negative value. And then the question is, how much does the correlation offset that? How much of a bigger buffer does the correlation give you? The thing I've been thinking about, and I kind of was mentioning it with that Mike Williams thing, is because people like to stack, not only are you sacrificing ADP value, but I think you're also running into more duplicated combinations of players because people are naturally reaching to complete those stacks. So it feels like you're sacrificing potential super teams by reaching and running into duplicated textures of builds.
Maybe. What do you remember what their 10 to 12 was based on? Like, you're reaching after 10 or 12, just generally speaking. So like you could pick anywhere around 10 to 12 and then it's about the same.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yep. This is I obviously have 18% Kittle. I think he's one of those guys I think is just mispriced by like a round or so based on, you know, what we've seen with elite tight ends. So I'm going to keep taking Kittle in these builds, and also just because he gives you so much flexibility when you get the elite tight end, when you only have to use two roster spots on them. And since because we're headed toward a zero RB build here, you know, this could potentially get us to where we can grab 7 running backs if we need.
Who would you rather have? Could you go Mahomes and Hall or Herbert and Kittle? Because that was your option there.
That one, you know, if I had Travis Kelce, I think, but I mean, yeah, you can backdoor stack him as well. It's interesting. I think it's like pretty even, like positionally, like what Breece Hall could bring for you down the stretch is a really exciting rookie running back whose role will go down the stretch, and also what Kittle can do. I mean, Kittle had those two games last year towards the end of the season where he had 35 plus points. Like, if you're getting that, like, Breece Hall can break out and still maybe like Jonathan Taylor is going to be close to him and Dalvin Cook and Eckler. Like, when these elite tight ends put up the 30 to 35 point weeks, like Kittle and Waller can do, it's just like you separate so much from the field because the next tier of tight ends is just nowhere near close. So I really like the elite tight ends.
I don't blame you. What do you think about Pitts?
I like Pitts a lot.
Yeah, okay. I've been drafting him a decent amount.
He has, not that the dynasty guys are, you know, the end all be all for it. But I mean, like the dynasty community and the people who are evaluating players on like a longer term horizon, like he's like a first round pick everywhere. Almost regardless of like format, just of what he did. And as a rookie and his kind of, you know, production profile coming in, and really that you have two things holding him back. One, he only scored one touchdown last year, and touchdowns often drive future ADP. And then two, everyone's kind of concerned, oh, is Mariota going to suck or not? And so you kind of have QB concerns that, but I think if you eliminated those concerns, which again, that's like saying if you eliminated the warts on anyone's profile, but like he would be over a longer time horizon, people have like no problems making big bets on Kyle Pitts. And it's like, I'd rather be a year ahead on that than wait until he's a first round pick and draft him there next year.
I got to read that ETR article. If it's, if it's like 10 picks either way, it doesn't matter. Then that's saying like a lot of value picks don't really matter that much at all either. Like if you're getting some guy three picks ahead of time, who cares? And then also that would mean you could probably dip to like 15 with a correlated player. I imagine that's got to change based on the round.
Yeah.
Like it's got to be 10 or around 10 after what, the fourth, fifth round or something.
Yeah, I don't have the article fresh in my head. I believe Jack Miller looked at it with some of the Leone data, so I don't want to speak for them, but I'll share that article with you. I think the part of it for me too is like when I am scooping guys like way past value, like today when Spags and I did, when we got Kareem Hunt like 25 picks past ADP, and it's just like I know that I'm adding Kareem Hunt to a team where it feels like you're almost getting like an extra player in there that most Kareem Hunt teams aren't going to have. They're not going to have that guy in that range where you selected the other player.
I got Moser at the last pick in the draft. Was he hurt? I was like, maybe I shouldn't take him.
He's not hurt, like, but 40. He has that. He's that guy, Brian. If you did your poll on how likely is Raheem Mostert to get injured, like Twitter would tell you 50%. So he has an injury track record, but like, things line up like that. Dolphins depth chart's wide open. Like they gave Chase Edmonds the most money in free agency, but it's not like his pedigree is a bell cow back. And then you have the Shanahan system, their new coach, Mike McDaniel, coming over there where he was familiar with Raheem Mostert and he kind of hand selected him in free agency. And Mostert's been like an explosive big play guy. So I think he's an awesome late round selection.
Yeah, the last round seemed, but he was, I think he was like my seventh running back though, but I'm like, it's like 40 rounds past ADP. Back to the Jack Miller thing is, it depends on if it was on data or a sim too. So like, I don't think we have enough best ball data yet to draw some of these conclusions. And so like, it's better to do in a sim.
Yeah.
And that's even with guessing at injuries, like,
yeah,
it's still better in a sim, I think, right now, to kind of figure that stuff out. But I don't know, maybe they did in the sim. I didn't read the article, but
I don't think it was a sim. I think they were looking at last year's data and win rates. All right,
all right,
man, this is kind of a gross spot. I have 0% of Amari Cooper. Did I finally bite the bullet?
Does the trade mean that Watson's probably going to play?
What was the trade?
Make Baker Mayfield to
Carolina? I didn't think that had any implication on the Watson. Although I will say, just like reading comments and stuff, it does seem like it went from everyone thought he was going to get indefinite suspension, at least a year, to, oh, maybe he might not get the full, maybe I'll get 6 or 8 games. So I don't know. I have whiplash on all that news. I have no idea what to believe.
I thought it was a sign that he was going to play, but maybe they were, who would be their quarterback then?
Jacoby Brissett is their other backup right now.
Oh, he started. You're not going to win, but.
So, you know, we're here now with a 1-4-1 build. I think I would definitely be interested in pulling the trigger on our first running back here with Miles Sanders. I like Devonta Smith. He slides a few picks past ADP. Joe Burrow would be our next stack there with Higgins, but it's like, I just generally don't like using two early picks on QB unless I'm getting a really good value on the second one.
Yeah, that is enticing though.
I know.
I like Sanders. I mean, I'm not on ship chasing, so I don't know, but that's probably what I would do there.
One other thing I sometimes look about with when I look at these, say, passing on Joe Burrow is like, okay, so the other team who'd be really interested in stacking him is this Ja'Marr Chase guy who took him early wanting to get that quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, he also took Josh Allen in the third. So he doesn't strike me as someone who's necessarily prioritizing stacking if he didn't want to just wait. So if he's willing to let the quarterback go, obviously none of these guys have quarterbacks, but you'll sometimes see people who are prioritizing stacking just pass on a guy like Burrow if they don't have one of his pass catchers yet. So this is a spot where I'm like, if Joe Burrow comes back to us in the eighth round, like, let's smash it, but let's kind of see if the room will let us sneak in another pick ahead of time.
I like it. You needed a running back too. I know zero RB and everything, but you have to play somebody at the
position. Oh, we do eventually have to get running back points.
You do. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I don't really need to send that one out, I don't think.
Let's just make sure. Settings. Okay, you do have to have two running backs each week.
Is this the first time you've looked at that?
It's the first time. I just kind of assumed. Ugh.
Now,
but I can, Brian. See, I can only start a max of three running backs in my starting lineup each week. Two running backs and a flex, but wide receivers, I can start four.
I love this. Is definitely a thing I like better about Underdog than Superdraft. What is it? Drafters. I did a slow draft on there, and like it's like. I got a notification. My pick was up and it's like, I entered that like a month ago. And also there's like 20 rounds or more or something in that.
Yeah.
It makes sense for their structure, but it's still a lot of rounds.
It is. I mean, even when Underdog had the super flex drafts and some of their drafts preseason were 20 rounds and man, it's just like, you feel those extra rounds. This draft I would say is going at a pretty good clip. Like sometimes you'll get in, like you can tell there's not a lot of badges in this room. So it's probably more casual drafters, but sometimes you get in one of these badge drafts where everyone knows these rooms inside and out and you can just rip off a draft in like 37 minutes. And it's just like, wow, this feels good.
That's pretty sweet. That's definitely something they need to think about. You can do one of these really quick. Those PGA ones, you could do a PGA Underdog draft in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so fast. Yeah.
We did see a crazy quarterback run here go five picks in a row. So Joe Burrow doesn't make it back, but I'm at peace with that. One of the things I think about with the elite quarterbacks, it kind of gives us the permission to wait a little longer on our second or even third QB.
That guy is definitely a like ship chasing viewer. I would say he's got like four or five wide receivers in his first pick, late QB. It's a pretty nice team.
Yeah, Chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chef going kind of little anchor there with Mixon and then waiting. So he does. Oh, this was what I mentioned. Sometimes they're willing to still stack the QB with the running back there. So he does get a little bit of correlation. I will be very excited if Tony Pollard falls to us. He's one of my favorite zero RB.
Can I tuned in. Are we up? We're going to be up in a second. But I tuned into ship chasing yesterday and Gretch said something that I wanted to comment on.
Yeah.
Let's do our pick and then you're doing Pollard.
Yeah.
That obvious.
I think he's like, he has so many outs. I think like, I feel like he has three outs. Like he could just flip Zeke on the depth chart because he's better. He could just have a pass catching role out of the gate and they use Zeke more on early down. So he has some PPR stuff and with the contingent upside. And then Zeke, if Zeke gets hurt, then like if Zeke tore his ACL today, like Tony Pollard would be a first round pick tomorrow. So he has lots of outs.
Do you know what would be a fun draft for like one of your shows or splash play?
Yeah.
Is let me reorder your rankings. Mm-hmm. And then you put a little piece of paper on the ADP.
And you just see the exposure.
And you, well, don't even use the draft candy. And then, but you can't be anchored to the ADP at all. And then see what you do and who you take. You might have it memorized.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I would have, you know, I think if you quiz me on ADPs,
yeah,
I think within like a, maybe a five round band or five pick band through 50. And then like within a 10 pick band picks 50 through 100. Like I would be pretty dialed in.
That you, someone needs to quiz you. Someone needs to quiz you for sure.
The worst party trick ever. I could.
I was thinking the same thing. That is the most worthless knowledge. You can name any ADP you want.
So here's another stacking option for us. If we want to be done at quarterback, we could take Stafford. You know, we made a big bet on Cooper Kupp as our third overall pick, and then we'd probably just be done. They play Week 17. Stafford, Herbert.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Definitely. And I think there's more Rams wide receivers you could take too, right?
Yeah. Yep. There's Van Jefferson and also Tyler Higbee.
I think Higbee's out of play though, isn't he? He's gone already, right? No.
No, he's here. Yeah, we got him.
There they are. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
But the other interesting thing is like Everett is a priority target for us as well, just because we currently have an unstacked Herbert. So we're gonna want, we only have a few options here. Spiller, the rookie running back, he's a nice zero RB guy. Joshua Palmer, who keeps getting pricey, but like we might just need to bite the bullet because we don't want an unstacked Herbert.
So what I do too, you know, for the noobs is you could see like the teammates are highlighted, the correlated teammates are highlighted in the non-night mode or whatever. It's you could see it a little bit better, but anyways, I usually just drag those guys over to the queue.
Do you know
so
what?
I don't forget them. I just highlight all the stack people and then start putting people in front of them.
So I think that's very smart. You want to know why I don't do it? Because I reflexively do so many drafts on stream that I stopped doing that because it was like putting on like a giant like blinking for sale sign on the players. It was like, please scoop me. Please take this guy I want to take. Yes. So I reflexively stopped doing that to be like, I'm not telegraphing this quite as much to you guys.
I just put all of them over there and then put like 10, 15 guys I know I want like above them.
Well, you said you were watching Chip Chasing last night. Isn't that what Karain did? He put like 50 guys in the queue.
Oh, did he? I did. Yes. But I mean, I wanted to ask like your opinion on the sniping. Like, obviously you probably don't care, but it's like you guys get sniped constantly. For me, it would be so frustrating.
I mean, it is. It comes with the territory. They are very fun to do. There's a reason though why like hopping in a draft like this, pre-recorded, where it's like the best of both worlds, because you can talk through strategy and, you know, provide content to people while still feeling like you could actually plan ahead, talk things out. But it's a push pull. I do legitimately. There's something fun and chaotic about drafting with the chat when everyone knows what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot of incentive for them to snipe you, just to troll you, you know, whatever. Maybe you steal your knowledge. It really doesn't matter, but like it does seem like it happens all the time.
The one thing is though too, like it does lead to natural diversification for me, because it's like my favorite players go, and it forces me to grab other players that I normally don't like. And on top of it, I'm normally getting them at a good value, because you know the rooms don't like the running backs. Sometimes I still pass on them, which is like why I have 0% David Montgomery, which I know greatly offends you as the world's biggest Bears fan.
do you remember even who your highest owned player was last year? Like what percent it was?
I believe it was Rondale Moore, at like 21 or 22%. So it wasn't,
you consider yourself an expert.
The funny thing is like, Karain was so offended because like Karain and Davis specifically last year too, like had their guys. And like, I think Pat had like 45 and 50% of some players. I know Bynum had
Nico
like
45%. Hardman, he had a ton.
Yeah. And I became way more of a like ADP value hound, wisdom of the crowds guy last year, where I was like, I just wasn't reaching that far ahead for my guys. And so my exposures were more smoothed out, but even at like 24%, you're still basically like 3x the field on like what would be a normal distribution.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if I can pull off the sim how I want it, to see like what their targets are like.
Yeah.
But that seemed like the initial stuff anyways, like 30% was like the highest.
Yeah.
For like advancing, not playoffs, just advancing. I haven't gotten that far yet. I still haven't been able to comment on Gretsch. Something he said about.
And while you're doing this, I had food delivered that I don't want to sit out. So you talk about this.
So, you're going to have a pick coming up here, and there's nothing I can do about it. Looks like it's going to be Zach Ertz season here. So Gretsch said, he's like, I'm not sure about, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, I'm not sure about this running back quarterback correlation. They don't, you know, like, especially like, you know, they run the ball in. I think it was wide receiver quarterback, and like how strong it was basically. Wow, that was fast, Pete.
I was just getting it from my door. No, I'm hang on. I'll make this pick, and then I do want to hear this conversation about running back correlation here. I don't feel like we need to take Ertz. I mean, we could go double Dallas guys. I'm getting a little spooked about Gallup's injury timeline lately. I have a bunch of more. I think we could still keep loading up on some running backs here. So let's take Alexander Mattison.
Right. Yeah. So he was talking about, wow, we need some injuries this year, huh? But then that's what you need. You need to get lucky in all these GPP contests. Your boy. You already have 19% of them going right back to the well.
Just martingaling him.
Gretsch. Yeah. So he said he was like questioning the usefulness of a QB RB correlation. Are you going to take him?
I was going to take Kenny Golladay to just be like, and now it's just like, I got to.
I think 20% is fine, probably, of like your favorite guy. We'll find out eventually, but.
Sorry, keep going.
And so I think he's right about the quarterback, running back, like how beneficial this is in some ways. And in some ways, maybe it's different for best ball because, he said like, you know, running backs are supposed to like run the ball in, right?
Yeah.
And it's true. They are. So like how much correlation can there be? Like, is the correlation is like, I throw the ball to Pete. That means me and Pete both get points. That's correlation. But I do think over the course of a season, it does kind of change it. To where, obviously he still does throw the ball to the running back. It's just not for big plays usually, but it still counts right there. And there'll be games where, like, whoever running back Kareem Hunt rushes three touchdowns, which means your quarterback's probably not going to get those touchdowns in that game. But all the other benefits, like, you should still get on average over the season of that correlation. So like it almost makes more sense to me. And I was just kind of mulling this over my head without actually looking into any of the data, but that like over a season, it might actually be better than in DFS, like that QB RB correlation.
Yeah.
But the data does show there is a little correlation there, which makes sense. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think a good example were the Bengals last year, and also kind of how that running back quarterback correlation could play into both a season long correlation and, you know, a playoff correlation in a single game sense, where, you know, Joe Mixon had an awesome year. The Bengals were this kind of undervalued offense. And if you had Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow on your team and hopefully one of the pass catchers, like, you were very happy with that result. Then you get to week 16 and 17, and well, Ja'Marr Chase is scoring all the touchdowns, which means there's no touchdowns available for Joe Mixon. And so it's like that season-long correlation, the concentrated bet you made on them, like, worked out really well for you, but then it kind of rears its ugly head in the single game correlation sense.
Yeah. It's kind of along the lines of what we talked about a couple shows ago about, are we getting like a double benefit from really stacking and double stacking?
Yeah.
And double stacking two QBs if possible. When the team goes off, then that whole team is more likely to be advancing. Because that whole team, the Bengals example, because that whole team went off, as opposed to you're kind of, you have an uncorrelated Lamar Jackson with Marquise Brown now, and you hope they just both go off. But James Connor's on a different team now, isn't he? Is he on Miami or something? What team's he on?
He's on the Cardinals still. Yeah.
Oh, he's still on the Cardinals. Yeah. Okay. That's another one. Connor, Murray.
Yeah.
And Marquise Brown. Like, if they all go off, if they just have a monster season, it's pretty likely that those two guys are having a big season too. Connor's not a sure thing, obviously, but.
And then you're kind of hoping, and this is where I think with BBM3 specifically too, of just like overstacking, where like you could tell yourself, say the Connor, Marquise Brown, Kyler one, you know, those guys both smash over the course of the season. Your advance rates are great. Then James Connor has a big game week 15, Marquise Brown week 16, and then Connor week 17, where it like ping pongs and it all comes together. Now, if you have like six or seven players from the same team, you might still hit the macro correlation bet. If you hit that undervalued team that smashes, you're going to advance. But then it's like, can that team put up 40 points, you know, 2-3 weeks in a row where you're not burning too many roster spots on one offense?
Sure. Another point to make about correlation, we say on the show a bunch of times, is especially in DFS, it doesn't just matter that on the correlation matrix it says wide receiver one gets 35% correlation or whatever matrix you're using.
Right.
It matters when the team goes off, because you're trying to score big, just like in this too. More so in the playoffs in this example, because it's really more one thing. And that is another mark against the running back. Because when shit really pops off, it's very rare that that correlation is with the QB running QB RB. It's much more likely that when they have like a 90% correlation on a huge game, it's like a QB through three touchdowns to the same wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can happen with an RB, but.
So we are entering a pretty nice correlation zone here. I'm trying to think through how I want to play this from an ADP standpoint. Kind of want to look and see what the texture is of the teams in between us. So we have a 6 wide receiver, 5 wide receiver. Yeah, 6 and a 5 wide receiver team. They seem... We basically have 3 kind of players here. Who just went? No, okay, Gesicki. I would love... My goal is to come away with 2 of these highlighted players here.
I wouldn't want to risk losing Palmer, honestly, but I don't know. You have a better feel than me.
No, that's the exact place I was arriving at as well. It's the last really viable wide receiver. I still have my heart set on Everett as well. It's going to be dicey if he makes it back to us. And then I did want Spiller. Of course he goes, but I do agree with you that the pass catcher was a little bit more important there.
Maybe you can get Henderson on the way back here. That'd be nice. But
yeah.
You know, another thing too, is I've noticed I've done about 6 or 7 drafts here so far on the monster. And when you're waiting for your Henderson here too, I want to remember who's auto drafting at this point, because if they're auto drafting these next two guys, you're not getting them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it takes the top ADP.
I know that's what,
like if this guy was, there's 2 left here, but if they're auto drafting, you're done.
My hope is these guys each have 4 running back builds. This guy had just taken Spiller. Slick Shoes took Hines there. I'm really hoping that these two both pump the brakes on running backs, for their second picks here.
You could go Everett after that if they don't.
Yeah, you're right.
Not the end of the world, is it? 156 a little, not bad for a double correlation, right?
I would probably just lock it in. He does take Henderson. I agree with you though. We're not, you know, we're 9 picks past here. But it really, and like Jalen Guyton's the only other even kind of viable charger. And I just let's do this here.
Yeah. Now it's starting to shape up.
Yeah, we got our double stack RBs. Evergreen.
Remember, you just found out you have to play two of them. So
I did. That was a bombshell revelation. No, we're in good shape here. And again, this is the beauty of getting kind of the two elite QBs and two elite tight ends. And I mean, obviously Gerald Everett's not an elite tight end, but I mean in that it allows you to do a two tight end build. And now, you know, we're probably just like one more other wide receiver, which would get us to four total quarterbacks and tight end, seven wide receivers are bringing us to 11, which would allow us to get to seven total RBs, meaning we could do four more running back selections here.
Another thing I've noticed about the wide receivers is like there's like usually going to be their third or fourth or fifth string wide receiver that you could pick up in the last round.
Yeah.
Or two. Do you feel that's right? Or do you, or I guess the question would be like, is that ever not worth it? You know, all like
right, say that, explain that.
So again. Like you're in the last round and it's the fourth string wide receiver for one of your quarterbacks. Do you just reach and take them?
Yeah, I guess I do kind of have my, let some of my player takes shine through a little bit. Like in the Jalen Guyton instance, like, yeah, he's technically the next guy, but like, he literally has like never earned targets. He's just like this clear out speedster. Everyone's just like, you know, he just runs cardio out there. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I had that decision in drafts before where it's like, I ended up taking Fuller or Julio, just being like, maybe they'll land on the Chargers as free agents. And that would be better than just like grabbing Guyton, knowing that it's just very unlikely that he puts up a score I ever need.
So that was what I had to, that's why I asked today with Mozart last round, 40 round, he's 40 rounds of value on, and, or I could just take some shitty wide receiver who's highlighted on my app that I already know who he is. Like,
well, yeah. And that's what, like, I mean, the premise I always work under is like all of these picks after, you know, if you look at like kind of the win rate data, like after round 15, like it just plummets. These guys are all such low probability bets. Every year we'll have a couple guys come out of the rough. And so it's like, you know, if you do get a guy like Mostert who say slid from a higher probability hit zone down there, like, wouldn't you rather take the better bet than just, even though you get a correlation boost, but it's like that correlation boost might be worth zero.
Would you rather play, would you rather have them, I'm assuming the answer is going to be no, but one QB, one RB, two wide receivers and a flex, shorten the draft so you could bang it out in half an hour. And that's the main format.
So like shorten the bench, you mean more?
Yeah. So, well, shorten the starters and then therefore shorten the bench.
Yeah. I like 18 feels like such a sweet spot. Like Underdog has done some of those like rookies and sophomore drafts and stuff that would have like 10 rounds or whatever. I just find them less interesting. And I do think the more you extend, the more like skill, like the more rounds you have, the more structural mistakes people can make, the more rounds you go, the more kind of like information hounds are rewarded and stuff. So I feel like it's the sweet spot there of where, you know, edge lords can kind of realize that over 18 versus say 10 or something.
I would say for the drafters format, they kind of got to keep it at 20. Cause like I told you, I'm worried about dupes being a thing.
Yeah.
In a non-playoff format.
Yep.
But with 20 picks, is it 20? Do you know? Have you ever drafted on there?
I believe it's 20. Yeah. I haven't in a while. See, this is a gross range for running backs here. I really like, I'm not a Darrell Williams guy. Maybe I just need to bite the bullet here because we've already kind of made a little bit of a bet on Rondell.
I mean, they did pay money for him, right? Arizona.
They did. I'm an Eno guy. This hurts, but seems fine.
Yeah. This is where I get worried. Like, man, did I wait too long on the RBs?
Well, the thing is like, I have like lots of guys that I mean, you can kind of see from my percentages here that you could tell this is more of a sweet spot for me. Brian Robinson, McKinnon, Foreman. So it's like, I'm normally just, again, it goes back to that thing of like, I don't think James Robinson or Darrell Williams is like any different of a bet than Jerick McKinnon or Deonta Foreman, like probabilistically, but they have like a 30 gap ADP range.
Yeah. How come no one likes Jamal Williams? He was a DFS fun boy there for a little bit.
I think because he's a pass catching back and people don't get excited about those two. And then two, he's an old pass catching back. And three, he's an old pass catching back with Jared Goff as his quarterback.
That's a lot of strikes against you. Why did I think he was, did he just get the start a couple times last week or something? Why am I remembering him?
Yeah. Cause like he was the guy when like everyone wanted DeAndre Swift to just be really good right out of the gate. And they were like, yeah, we're going to just keep using Jamal Williams. So one guy I am going to take here for this zero RB build. And like one thing I think about a lot when I do zero RB builds is like you were saying, you know, Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, true handcuffs, Darrell Williams, probably a true handcuff. We're going to need some points out of the gate to kind of just keep this team afloat until the chaos of the season kicks in. Marlon Back should be the starting running back for the Texans. And I like that he can give us some points right out of the gate.
I would probably get Mark Ingram there because I just listened to that ETR podcast.
Yeah.
And they said Kamara might get suspended. But is Ingram's pretty fucking old. Is he even going to be the bell cow if that happens?
That's why it's such a tough – he was so bad down the stretch last year that it's like that feels like one of those situations where if you did projections right now, you just have to give him a decent amount of work. But it also feels like the spot where they could just sign someone and immediately be like, sorry, you know, Ingram, you're a dust ball now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Latavius Murray or somebody. It's
that vein, yeah.
Just, yeah, someone like that. And they just pick them up, throw them in there.
Yep. So we have a really nice, you know, our Chargers, Rams, you know, week 17 game. Like that's in really good shape. We're building out a good zero RB crew. We haven't like gone out of our way to force any of these other secondary correlations. Cleveland plays Washington. Oops. My headphones just died. Stand by.
Okay. Well,
I get different headphones on.
You do that.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're good.
Am I getting an echo the way I have my speaker right now?
No, you sound fine.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, I was saying we haven't really prioritized too much like bring back week 17 stuff outside of the Chargers Rams, but doesn't really bother me.
I like it. I love it. And I would like plan for getting Guyton or somebody. Like right now, I would probably go to the wide receiver tab and then highlight, like see who you probably already know, but like who would be a correlation I could take in round 18 and then fill out everything else. Which is probably going to be what, running back for you? No, you need another wide receiver too, right?
Yeah, I think we can do one more wide receiver here. And so we can look at some of these other correlations. If Mark Ingram falls to us, I'm definitely down to take him.
Yeah, you gotta.
So other correlation teams that would make sense for us. Obviously, Atlanta. Because we have two Arizona guys. Damian Williams is actually a guy that I think could potentially lead the backfield there. And so that anytime like that correlation and our positional needs line up, I always think that's relatively interesting.
What wide receivers are left for besides
correlation?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, as far as like our Rams and Chargers, I mean, it is slim. You see Guyton there, my 0%. There's like Tutu Atwell is the super short dude on the Rams.
Yeah, and these guys aren't even getting rankings at information down here.
And that's why it's like sometimes in these spots, I'm like, you know who I'd be interested in? I mean, we could, again, it's like we're not going to take the quarterback, but I would take like David Bell, the rookie wide receiver.
Yeah, I have
on the Browns.
Ton of that guy.
You do? Yeah. Yeah.
Julio Jones can still play football, right?
Yeah. David Bell goes. Like Julio is another one where it's just like everyone just agrees that the second he signs, like Green Bay is kind of the front runner right now. I mean, like his ADP is going to jump three or four rounds.
Yeah, he's going to be what, like – 11th round, 12th round? No, that might be
too
high.
I would think so.
Yeah. And he's Julio Jones. He'll go too high. He'll go higher than he rightfully should, depending on where he signs, and then he'll probably drop back down.
Yeah.
He's Julio
Jones. J.D. McKissic would probably be a good back for this. Again, trying to get like some guaranteed touches, like a pass-catching back, and they also play Cleveland week 17.
Ingram's going to get touches too, right? Like, even if Kamara plays, he's going to get some touches.
Yeah, let's do. Yeah, we're in good shape here. Let's go ahead and grab Ingram. Ingram at pick 190 now.
And like the 5% chance that Kamara gets suspended and maybe he starts a couple games before they bring somebody in.
And again, like the way this tournament is structured, it's like I'm not expecting much from Marlon Mack and Mark Ingram in weeks 15 through 17. But like the thesis is those guys are putting up usable weeks early on. And then one of Zeke or Dalvin Cook gets hurt. And all of a sudden we have an RB1 with Pollard or Madison.
Yep. Yeah. And you never know. You never know who's going to be starting by then.
Right. I mean, that's exactly the team that I had finished top 10 last year. It was like two guys, Sony Michel and Rashad Penny, who did nothing all year, and then injuries opened up right at the perfect time.
Yeah. Who was the – was it Mitchell? Eli Mitchell? San Fran?
Yep.
He's another one. No one was taking him.
Yeah, and he was, like, useful right out of the gate. It was when Mostert got hurt, like, first quarter of that game.
I know. I think I had like 40% of them in DFS that week or something.
Man, I remember.
DFS was a disaster for me after the first week where I took second or in the millie or whatever. Fucking downhill after that.
Yeah. No, I remember that. Man, it's so funny thinking like, because your brain gets like so oriented for me, like in best ball and season long, and then you just get whiplash right into DFS. And it was just like, I don't remember drafting a ton of Mostert last year, but then it's like DFS rolls around. It's like we all have 50% Mostert week one.
No one gives a shit now. Yeah. Best, it's all gone. All the postseason garbage is gone when someone gets hurt and his salary's 5,500 or 5,000 or something.
Yeah.
DraftKings. Is DraftKings best ball a point PPR?
Yeah, full PPR.
So the ADP from Underdog, you can't really use it to pour it over, huh?
No, I do think there's some interesting stuff there, and just kind of hearing people talk about some of the ADPs over there, and the trends, that I think there's some kind of useful stuff where you can get your exposures to certain players on DraftKings versus Underdog. But yeah, it's not apples to apples.
Okay. Cause we are going to eventually tackle that site too on the app.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that takes the guys to put in there. But I looked at their best ball. They have a ton of offerings, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of mid stakes, high stakes stuff.
Yeah, I know they have some single entries and stuff too.
Don't you think the GTO move using GTO incorrectly, if Nerdy Tenor's watching, don't you think the GTO move is don't draft till the last week, get awesome at multi-tabling somehow and like the puppies or some shit,
yeah,
and then multi-table the shit out of last week?
Yeah. No, I think that's the play.
Get 150 in with all the info. And also, too, like last year with DraftKings, like if they're giving away a bunch of free entries to people who don't give a shit, like, and there's just a lot of noobs entering, you know, who don't watch any best ball content entering week before.
The only part of that plan that could thwart it is if some of these tournaments are, you know, like Best Ball Mania 3, it wouldn't be surprised me if it filled a little bit before like the end of the season. And so you're just having to keep an eye on the fill rates of these to make sure you're going to be able to get in 150 or whatever your goal is.
Well, yeah, obviously keep your eye on the, don't go to Mars and then come back a week before the season, you know, check periodically.
Yeah, so this is I have two running backs in here that give us a little week 17 correlation, the rookie Raiders running back, because we have Kittle in here, and then I was kind of liking Damian Williams anyways, just because we have two Arizona guys, so we're going to want that game to be a little hot.
So these are opposing running backs?
Yes, yeah, but I have Rondell, so we have two Cardinals, one's a running back, and
and one. Do opposing running backs have correlation?
Probably not. I will say,
because it you want like the wide receiver for one team and then the running back from the other team. Here, I'll look at this old correlation matrix. So RB1 with opposing RB1's negative correlation, just slightly. And RB2 is -2, which makes sense because really a lot of the correlation is from we get up by running the damn ball, right, and getting three rushing touchdowns, and then you have the bomb to come back. So the wide receiver is correlated,
yeah,
in like a game flow scenario.
Yeah. All right, the draft is in the books, Brian. And coincidentally enough, that is my halfway mark in Best Ball Mania 3, 75
wow.
Entries under the belt here.
You got to slow down, pal.
No, man, it's the opposite. I got to get one of these in a day just to stay on my clip, because I'm not going to be able to do the quote-unquote GTO multi-table shit ton. My August is going to be crazy here. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a busy season for you.
Yeah, and my other big news, Lauren and I just had we had an offer accepted on a house earlier today.
Holy shit. Nice,
yeah,
man.
And so that, like, us selling our condo, closing, moving in, like, all that's going to happen, like, mid to late August. So it's just, like, there's going to be no best ball EV for me to chase her out.
congratulations. And how long have you lived at that house that you're currently at?
We moved here in the spring of 2013.
Okay, so you got a lot of shit in there.
Yeah. Fall of 2013. Yeah. It's going to be – the nice thing is like a lot of our stuff is like stuff we've had like – forever, you know, like college apartment stuff where it's like we're ready. We've been like holding out on getting new stuff for mm-hmm. when we move. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna ditch a bunch of stuff. But yeah, it is going to be a big undertaking. So yes, those of you who don't have to deal with moving and all kinds of other stuff, congratulations.
Did you get your own room for your broadcast and such?
Yeah. I'm gonna have a couple options. I have to decide, but I have a couple good options for it.
Cool.
It's like, do I want to go more the office route, or do I want to go more like the studio route? And kind of just decide which room I want to use.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So, well, let us know. Feel free. We'll have all the information down in the show notes as far as links to the app. There is that free trial on it. It is focused today. We focused obviously on the best ball draft caddy element, but there is more functionality there for pick'ems and all that. And I'm sure we'll discuss that in the future. And you can always tag Brian and I in either my Discord in the Lulz channel or in Brian's Discord if you have questions. Anything else I'm forgetting there, Brian, before we wrap up?
No. That should do for Lulz housekeeping stuff. I think we have special guests next week, right?
Yeah, Whistles Go Woo is confirmed. I believe it's is it U.S. Open week next week too? Because that's what he had mentioned as well.
The Open, so like the British Open. They call it the Open. Yeah.
Yes.
I actually did MMA ownership today because I'm going to Vegas and I won't be able to do it this weekend. So hopefully there's no scratches, but if anyone wants MMA ownership, it's up on my site, and I will be out of commission for 3 days. So
what? Yeah. Tell me, like, you kind of told me that you were going to Vegas, or I saw your tweet, and then like what ended up being your plans? Where are you staying? Are you going to do some poker or what?
No poker, hopefully. Mandalay Bay, I'm going to stay at, and one of my buddies wanted to go. So we're going to go. RBX is there, so we'll probably hang out.
You got to give a photo of you at RBX.
Oh yeah, yeah, I plan on it, definitely. But that's it. Just whatever, leave on Sunday. Probably
awesome, man.
I'm going to do the IV hydration. I already scheduled my appointment cuz I don't want to be hungover on the flight.
That's hilarious. I love it. Very smart. Very GTO, dare I say, getting an IV appointment in Vegas. Well, have a great time. I'll be excited to hear the trip report, and you know, don't let RBX 88, you know, drag you to anything that makes you too uncomfortable.
A Trump rally.
Yeah. Either that or some kind of orgy, one of the two.
Yeah, it's some sort of weird pay for orgy, if you will. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, so I'm going to post this on Friday morning. We recorded this on Thursday night, and then yeah, we'll see you guys back next Wednesday for a fun episode with Whistles Go Woo. We'll talk to you guys then.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.